fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell.
Welcome to Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, everybody. It is the last episode recorded from New York City, a once great city that I will be leaving to head to Los Angeles, California. Guys, I got to be honest. I was one of the only comedians that did it all. I did the alt rooms. I did the clubs. I was respected by everybody. That breed of comedian is dying, and when I leave, I imagine this entire city and comedy scene, of which I have no interest in, will disintegrate pretty much immediately after I'm gone. As soon as they say wheels up and that plane's in the air, I would imagine that the mediocre New York comedy scene that gets softer by the day will collapse immediately, and it will be chaos without me, because I was really a mascot of this scene. I was an avatar for it. It is the end of an era, and it's tragic for many people. I've been getting messages all week from people that are trying to decide whether or not they should continue living on this earth. Okay? With me today, a guy who's opened for me a few times, I mean comedically, Luke Tuma. He's very funny. Luke is a New York comedian. He grew up in Buffalo. Which is, what is your house worth in Buffalo?
Like
$100,000. $100,000.
Yeah.
$100,000.
Yeah, which is all right out there. You can get a house in Buffalo for like $16,000.
And it's actually a nice house.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. $100,000. This kid grew up in a car. This kid grew up in a BMW 7 Series car. He never had tuna tartare. I took him to open for me at Mohegan Sun. He didn't know what tuna tartare was. We were sitting in Bobby Flay's restaurant, Bar American, fine, and they bring out a tuna tartare, and this kid's like, what is this? And he's so excited, which is not, it's always good to be friends with somebody who, you know, has experienced less in their life than you have, because I get very hardened and cynical, and I want to experience things through Luke's eyes, so I bring him on the road. And like, you know, when we, you know, go to a nice restaurant or something, or a place with like tablecloths. No, I'm kidding. How bad is Buffalo?
It's not good. It's not. It's a lot like Newark, New Jersey. I mean, it's like shitty. It's like Philadelphia is the closest vibe I've seen to Buffalo, but it's like Philly's much nicer. Buffalo's like.
Well, Philly shitty. Has commerce.
Yeah. Buffalo had like a Kodak factories back in like the 1900s, and then that's gone.
Will your family ever leave Buffalo?
Never. Dude, they were born and raised there. They left each, like my mom and dad each left for like 2 months apiece, and then that's it. Sucked them back.
So you're the only person in your family to leave Buffalo, and you're trying to become a clown.
Yeah, exactly.
So how embarrassing is that? Can you imagine his parents being like, well, yeah, Luke's leaving. He's in New York. Oh, what's he doing? Oh, he's a comedian. It's like it almost doesn't count, but
yeah.
It is nice to have you here. I think you're one of the good ones, you know, and what I mean by that is white. No, he's a, you are part Muslim.
Yeah, I'm Lebanese.
You're dude, Lebanese.
I'm doing my first Lebanese gig.
Yeah, well, you're getting smart. You know which way the wind is blowing. Very smart. You're trying, you need to start leaning into that hardcore. Start wearing sandals on stage. Get a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I am in the internet. And you're in an interracial relationship.
Yeah, my girlfriend's black.
And that's gotta lean into that. Check, too. Box, check, uh-huh. Lebanese, check.
Suck a couple dicks and I'll be good.
You might have to.
Yeah, dude.
Listen, you
gotta
work.
Do what you gotta do.
What is a Lebanese comedy gig?
This girl, Natalie, hit me up. She's Lebanese. Apparently, Dave Mirage was gonna get the gig, and then he's out of town, so they booked me. And it's called Life, and it's like Lebanese investment financial, I don't know, E something, but it's like Life is the acronym, but it's old, like 50-year-old rich Lebanese dudes that like have an investment firm, and I'm going to be doing like a half hour for them.
And you don't really have a ton of bits about being Lebanese.
Literally zero.
So you're going to have to maybe go off the top of your head.
Yeah, and I don't even know anything about Lebanon or being Lebanese. I mean, I'm going to
No, you're from
it.
Buffalo, yeah. Which is worse, probably.
Yeah,
than,
and they're not going right. to... And rich Lebanese guys in the city are not going to give a fuck about Buffalo.
Well, it's when I get booked to do gay gigs, I don't really have a ton of material about being gay, so sometimes the gay audiences are mad
yeah.
because they just want to hear about themselves for a half hour.
Do you do a lot of gay gigs?
No, but every now and then I will get booked.
My friend at work is gay, yeah. and I was like, oh, I opened for this guy. He's my buddy. He's like yeah. a gay comic. He's like doing really well. And he's like, what's his name? And I was like, Tim Dillon. He's like, oh, like, does he have any jokes about like gay lifestyle? And I told him the joke about like jumping off the George Washington yeah. Bridge. And he just like looked at me for a couple of seconds and he goes, well, that's dark. I like Chris D'Elia.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. I like Chris D'Elia too. You know, my comedy's not for everybody, especially waiters. You know? How about getting a job? What's your friend do? How old is he?
He's like 26.
And what is he doing at working at the restaurant with
just
you?
Just waits tables and gets hammered.
And what is the ultimate goal for his life?
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, good. And I don't want him. I don't want that. I'm trying to get... I want fucking climbers. I want a Gary V type audience of sociopaths that are trying to pull themselves up. No. I will say this. I will say this, folks. The Milo Yiannopoulos thing, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's kind of, we get it. And I think nobody cares. It's not in the comedy community in New York City. But to just rehash it, you know, Milo's publicist reached out to Legion of Skanks. One of the reasons probably is because they bill themselves as the most offensive podcast on earth. Okay? So you would say... if there was a podcast that was going to host Milo Yiannopoulos, it wouldn't be like you know, Hoda Kotb's show on Sirius. It would be Legion of Skanks. So they put a flyer out. Legion of Skanks is going to be at the Creek in a Cave in Long Island City. Milo Yiannopoulos is going to be the guest Monday night. They're always there Monday night. And then there was the reaction, the, you know, stereotypical reaction of people that are concerned about safe spaces and people feeling safe. They then said they were going to show up to the Creek in combat boots and start chucking milkshakes at people and physically attacking them. Those are the people that were interested in the safety. They wanted everyone to feel safe, so they wanted to show up and start a violent riot just to make sure that everybody felt safe.
How many people do you think that was total that were like outraged?
I don't
know. What, 50, 100 people?
Maybe.
That are like all New York comics?
Well, a lot of them are New York comics, but then you have groups like Antifa, which is the anti-fascists, you know, who show up to places with masks on and hit people with bike locks. Again, to promote safety. They want a safe world. So when Ben Shapiro shows up at Berkeley, they have a riot. And when Milo Yiannopoulos showed up at Berkeley, they were like shooting firecrackers into the auditorium. Again, because they want a safe world. This is how they want it. And I guess, and then there was a lot of New York City comics. I use the word comic loosely because here's the thing. I've been in the room when a lot of these people are on stage. Not anymore, because they don't get booked anywhere. But in the beginning, I saw a lot of these guys and women go on a stage and fight like hell against what the, like, the verdict was that you should be nowhere near a microphone ever. Like, you should be as far away from a stage as you argue that Milo now should be. Like, that should have been the response to half of these people getting booked, should be violent uprisings.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. Shouldn't only be Milo. Half of these people, you see their act, they're like, oh, the response to you getting booked at the Creek should be stomping boots and hurling milkshakes. These people had careers that didn't work out in comedy. Some of these people have very lucrative careers in things like writing. Some of them are researchers for shows. Some of them are in the sketch world. But I do think it kind of drew a line between stand-ups and everybody else, like working stand-up comics, like people that make a living talking in front of a crowd. That's how they earn their living. Because those people, if you're a real comic and you're up every night and you're training in these environments and a lot of them are hostile and you're dealing with hecklers and you're learning how to shut people down, you're learning how to get your jokes out there, you can't be afraid of words. If you're a comedian, a real comedian, you cannot be afraid of speech and words. That's your whole fucking job. Yeah.
Also, if you're like working at it, you don't have the time to like start an online mob.
No.
The Legion of Skanks. Like, you don't have the time to do that.
You shouldn't. No. You shouldn't. But I think even on a basic level, your business is words.
Yeah.
How do you get behind a movement to silence someone? I don't care how offensive they are. If you cannot shut that person down with your own words, your own arguments, if you can't invalidate their opinions, that's a whole bit. Because the argument, and then we'll get off this, but the argument that these people make all the time, and I try to find, because there's people that I respect comedically that I disagree with, and then there's a whole host of people who I don't respect comedically because there's nothing to respect. There's nothing there. I don't know what, they're delivering food, they're walking dogs, and again, I'm not knocking those jobs, but these people have not proven, and they don't believe, by the way, that it matters. Like, they think that they're as good as I am, or they think they're as good as Louis is or Kevin Hart. They don't believe in talent. They don't believe in hard work. They think that the only reason that I'm in a better position than them, or that other comedians are in better positions than them, is because we've found a way to exploit some loophole, or we have opinions that put us comfortably in the mainstream or whatever. But what it really is that we're able to make people laugh consistently. That's why you get work. That's why you get booked, is because people will pay to see you do comedy. If you are not getting booked, here's what it means. Two things. Number one, people will not pay to see you do comedy. And number two, nobody believes that people will pay to see you do comedy either now or in the future. That's what it means. That's what it means, guy. It doesn't mean that you're too edgy and radical and you're too much of a truth teller. It's not what it means. It's a simple business equation. It means that people do not think that people will spend money to hear your thoughts. Why? Theme of the show, new shirt coming. Why? Because your thoughts have no value. I want you to say it before you go to bed. My thoughts have no value. How freeing is that? How nice is that to finally accept that what comes out of your mouth is immaterial? Doesn't matter. No one cares. No one wants it. Who ordered this? Nobody. It's a waiter putting a bowl of shit on the table. Did you order the shit? No one did. No one did. And you don't have a right. But they don't believe that. They don't believe that. And this is why they fall so easily into Marxism and everything else, because the idea that somebody's better than them or has a talent they don't or works harder than they do, they hate. But then, that's the majority of people. But then there are people like James Adomian, who's brilliant and very talented, who I would disagree with on this issue. There's guys like Eddie Pepitone. I don't know how he feels, but I'd probably disagree with him. And he's one of the funniest people in the world, and I believe that. So I'm not saying that everybody on the other side is not talented. A lot of them aren't. But there are some very talented people that have. But the whole deplatforming thing is this. It's that the only reason that Milo Yiannopoulos is not literally Hitler, this is what you have to believe. The only reason that widespread fascism has not taken root in this country is because people have not heard the message. This is what they believe. And if Milo gets the platform and his ideas apparently are so attractive and the American people are so irrational that they will sign on. And if that's what you honestly believe, we have much bigger problems.
Yeah,
much bigger problems.
Doesn't it seem like they should are showing a lot of respect for Milo's ideas? They're like, we got to keep this guy off Twitter because if people hear this, they're gonna love it.
Yeah. Like, well, this is what they believe. They believe that the only reason that people aren't signing up to fucking to follow this guy to the ends of the earth because they haven't heard his ideas.
They're like, this shit's so good, we got to keep it in the dark.
They think these ideas are so potent, you can't debate them. You can't knock them down with logic. That can't happen. The whole history of rhetoric and argument and debate and reason, we got to throw that out the window. None of that matters. The idea of how we come to a consensus and how we flesh out ideas, we got to get rid of that, throw it in the street, because these people are wizards. Yeah. Somehow, and they'll just as soon as they start talking, people lose the ability. So, I mean, so what's so the people that are on the other side? I'm like, so what exactly do we do? Should we run every podcast guest by Antifa? Should we run it by failed comedians that live in New York City and say, hey guys, and by the way, they vandalized Rebecca Trent's, they vandalized the Creek in the Cave, which is where this was supposed to happen. Rebecca did not book Milo. She had nothing to do with this. She gives comics autonomy. She's always done that. She's done that for years. People fucking vandalized Nazis not welcome on the street in front of her restaurant. And Rebecca has spent years helping comics, gay ones, black ones, people of color, trans comics, everybody. Mm-hmm. Rebecca's literally helped all of those fucking people. And her friends turned on her, people that she raised money for when they had fucking cancer, turned on her, threw her under the bus, put this out there. And then they got these other organizations, these anarchist groups or whatever, to now start talking about boycotting the place and vandalizing it. So shame on you, literal shame on you, if the woman who raised money for you while you had cancer, if you're trying to get the last bit of fucking relevance out of your failed comedy career by throwing her under the bus, shame on you. How do you sleep? How do you sleep at night? And what is the plan? What's the plan? Every podcast guest is, we're going to have to run them through an anonymous group of people that wear masks and, you know, and say, guys, this guy's okay, right? You won't show up and violently try to prevent this guy from speaking. Because that's, by the way, that's what freedom of speech is. It's freedom of speech without the threat of violence and intimidation. People don't really understand that.
Yeah.
You can't, freedom of speech doesn't mean anything if you take five rifles and point them at somebody's face and go, what do you think now? Tell us. That's not what freedom of speech is, you idiots. But what do you think about this? You're a young comic. You're new. You just got to New York. You're in, you know, you don't really do a lot of open mics. You do more shows because you have talent and work ethic, which a lot of your friends don't have. They will die alone in the street like dogs. And you'll have to watch that. And it'll be unfortunate. Get away from them as quickly as possible. But what is your read on it?
I mean, I think a lot of these people are nihilists. Like, you pretend to be a nihilist, but you're not actually. You're a cynic, but like, I think
I care about the world and the children and the families, and that's why people listen to this show, because they know that I have the right idea.
Dude, Tim Dillon has the answers. He cares about it.
Yeah.
No, they want it all to sink. I think they just hate humanity, and anything that they possibly might be a little mad at, they just want it off, sink it, kill it.
And what do you attribute that to?
They're resentful. A lot of it, maybe they hate their parents or whatever, but a lot of these comics, they hate the world because they're so bad at comedy. Yeah. They're like, I had a dream. I said it to you earlier. It's like, some of these people never had any natural talent, but they were like, my dream is to be a stand-up comic. With none of the natural talent to be a stand-up comic. It's literally like, if tomorrow I was like, hey, Tim, I decided to pursue my dream of being an NBA basketball player. And you'd be like, Luke, you're 5'8", you're Lebanese, you're like slow and uncoordinated. I'm like, yeah, but it's my dream. So like, it's definitely going to happen because it's my dream.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, that's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And then it's like, if 10 years from now, I hated the world because I didn't get to play it.
Yeah. They're angry. They're angry. They're bitter, resentful. You fuck a lot, Luke? You're fucking out there?
I fuck a good amount. Not an overwhelming amount.
Okay. But. So what are you doing? How many times a week?
4.
And is your penis always hard?
Always hard.
You've never had a problem with it?
No, never had a dick problem.
Interesting. Well, there's a lot of people, you know that a lot of young people are not fucking right now.
Yeah, no. They're on Adderall. They're on Twitter.
Well, whatever it is, they're have problems. They've been on antidepressants. They just can't get on. I try to fuck 19-year-old guys all the time. A lot of them don't have hard dicks. They just rub their soft dick against my leg, and we talk about, you know, whatever, Netflix. But the point is that a lot of these guys should be on some type of medication to make their penis hard.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Do any of your friends tell you I have a dick problem? I guess that's...
Dude, some of them have dick problems.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
It's crazy.
Wild.
They're like 22.
And what do you think it's from? Drinking, booze, pills?
Pills. Weird pill. Weird medication they're on.
A lot of it is that. Well,
here's a new medication.
Are any of them hot with dick problems?
Yeah, you'd like them for sure.
Tell them I'll come over and I'll suck them off before they fuck their chick. Okay. Listen.
You think that'll give them hard? Tim sucking him off.
I give an insane blowjob.
I would imagine so.
It is so good. Listen, the guy that there was this guy that you just graduated university, Pace, some
high
shitty one. But high school, that's funny. But he said, I just give a great blowjob. It's just really good.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
Is this what the ad's for, your blowjob?
No, the ad is for Blue Chew, but we're not there yet. You got to let the fucking, don't rush. Do you give good oral sex to your partner? Yeah, you think so?
For sure. Because my dick's not that big.
Interesting. I think it's big. It's not big. Aren't you Lebanese?
Yeah, it's not small.
It's fine.
I always felt like, you know, you got to bring something up top.
Interesting.
Good
appetite. Maybe that's why I'm sucking good dick.
I think so.
That's right. I got an Irish dick. I will suck your father off, and he will not stop talking about it. BlueChew.com, folks. This is what you got to do. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Wouldn't you like to last longer and go extra rounds?
Yes.
BlueChew is chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. The chewables from BlueChew can be taken on a full or empty stomach. Online consultation is free with a doctor or doctor-like bot that this website is installed to just diagnose you with the issue and send you these fucking free drugs anyway in discreet packaging. You need a hard dick. When you fuck, you go once or twice?
Twice.
Twice? Yeah, really?
Twice.
Wow.
Because of Blue Chew.
Blue you gotta got to be like Luke. Twice. You want a hard cock. You want to do it twice. This is the way you got to do it, folks. They come in discreet packaging, okay? You and your partner are going to love it. You got to chew it and do it. Here's a great deal. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you're using promo code TD. There's no stigma to taking a dick pill, I think.
No. And you don't have to tell her.
Yeah.
Don't tell her. And she'll think, especially on a first date, she'll just think that's natural.
You've never had an issue ever in your life. You've never had a problem with, never once ever.
No, before, yeah, but drunk.
So you were drunk and what happened?
Can't get it up. You're drunk.
And then what happens?
You just fall asleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's not satisfied by any means. Yeah.
Right.
In those scenarios. But if I had Blue Chew, I'd be fucking.
Are you,
a numb,
because your girlfriend
drunk
is African American, do you ever feel that because your penis is not a black, big black penis, do you ever feel like, listen, let's be honest.
I would, but because her dad's a troubled man, she does not enjoy black men. Never been with a black guy.
Listen.
So I'm being compared to white guys from Salt Lake City where she
just
grew up.
Just because her dad ran out on her doesn't mean she doesn't want 8 inches of black steel in there.
She
maybe
might
nine.
Want it, but she hasn't had it. She's avoiding.
She doesn't even know what she's missing.
That's definitely true. If she got 8 inches of black steel, it might be over for me.
Okay. BlueChew.com, folks. $5 shipping. Promo code TD. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code TD. I think 7 is nice. I think 7 is...
You like
is,
a huge dick? No?
I think 7 is not. I would rather an attractive 7.
What happens when the guy's packing like 10? Like
it's very rare.
Yeah.
Sometimes when it gets bigger, it's like gnarled with veins. It looks like it was in an electrical fire.
Yeah?
Is it
inconvenient if it's too big?
I mean, it depends on your definition of the word inconvenient. But I guess it can be.
You never had a huge one, though.
Not 10.
Yeah.
I think a 9. 10 is a lot.
9, though.
10 is rare.
Yeah.
Like nobody. A lot of people aren't walking around with a 10-inch dick.
Yeah.
Who's got the biggest dick out of your friends?
I don't even know.
You don't know?
There was a kid in high school that had a huge dick. The weird kids always had huge dicks.
Greg
Marsh, Steve Skinner, Nick Drozdowski. Big fucking cock.
How do you know?
High school locker room, yeah.
Interesting. And they were always just dead-eyed autists with
weird,
huge pieces.
Weird, skinny guys... with not that much hair on their bodies, packing heat.
That's my type. That's what I want. Yeah, I want a skinny guy with not a lot of hair and a big dick.
Yeah, children.
That's not a child. You're a fucking... You're dating a black. What are you, nuts? You're going to come at me? BlueChew.com. Get your first order free. Use promo code TD. Just pay $5 shipping. Thank you. Folks, I've told you before about CBD. I don't know how many times I have to say it. I don't know if I have to take a flight... to your fucking hometown, crawling to your window while you're sitting there, laying there in bed, riddled with anxiety because you're living a horrible life, and then just fucking coat you with CBD so that you calm the fuck down and go to bed. Go to bed! You're not solving the world's problems tonight. You're going to be okay, but you need CBD. It has all the benefits of marijuana without the psychoactive ingredients that get you high. Infinite CBD is so good. It's so pure. Freezing Point Topical Cream is great if you have sore injuries or muscles. Plain and simple, it really works. I'll tell you that. CBD gummies are very calming. They're great for insomnia. AM pills, you take them in the morning with some caffeine. Get going. Get right into that day. Sit at that fucking horrible cubicle. Put those earbuds in. Listen to those podcasts. You're ready to go. Do that busy work. Do that garbage. Buy that blue chew. Get that cock hard. You can go out later tonight. Take the lady out. Go have some tapas. Go have some tapas. Tapas are nice. Nice light dinner. You go back to the house, you're all ready to do it, you got your big hard cock, and then with the CBD, you're relaxed, you're fucking ready to get into it. That's what you got to be. Pharmaceutical companies are spending billions of dollars to keep this stuff out of the market because it works. You don't need other medications. The other day, my aunt has cancer. I went, she has like 20 fucking pills in the bathroom. I flushed them all, and I replaced it with some CBD.
And blue
shit. Said, relax, bitch. Relax. You don't need it. My friend's baby, every time I stay in L.A., there's a baby that keeps screaming. I dose it with CBD at night. Shuts its mouth. That's all you need. Diseases and ailments are fake. It is a ploy for the pharmaceutical companies. Your kids don't need vaccines. Give them CBD. They'll be fine. Measles is not real. CBD will treat the measles. Also, what's another really cool thing about CBD, and I don't really know if what I... What's great about these ads is I don't know if they're legal. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the things that I say. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that instead of vaccinating your children, you should give them CBD. Because a lot of people are listening to that going, that's probably a joke. It is not a joke. I'm not kidding. I believe that you should give your children CBD. But I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. But if you go to infinitecbd.com/skankfest, they're giving away a pair of tickets, which is a $450 value, plus $200 Infinite CBD bundle pack for a free lucky fan. Skankfest is sold out. You're not getting tickets. That's it. The only way to get tickets right now is infinitecbd.com/skankfest. You'll get two tickets for free. And Tim15. If you go to infinitecbd.com and you want this stuff, and listen, everyone's using CBD. I'm in LA all the time, the green room of the Comedy Store. Everybody's talking about CBD. All your favorite comics are using it. Everybody's using it. If you're not using it, you're the problem. So you got to go to infinitecbd.com, promo code TIM15. You'll get 15% off your order. Do it. Replace everything in your life with it. Everything. 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 You don't need a partner. CBD. Get in there. Thank you. All right, Wix. One more and we're good. Wix. All right, everybody. I've talked about this before, and I'll say it again. Boomers are a huge market right now. A lot of people, boomers are all about to retire. They are the generation of people who raped and pillaged this country. They depleted our resources. They mired us in endless foreign wars. They have completely corrupted the country and bankrupted the country. They're moral deviants. They're a lot of things about them. But they are a huge ad demo, and they will consume your content. They might pay for the things you sell, but they're not going to be on social media. They're not. They need a website. They want a website. That's why they love Facebook, because it's a fucking website. My aunt's on Facebook all the time, writing statuses about Donald Trump, her boyfriend, at 3 a.m. in a Percocet haze. You want to sell something to my aunt, she wants a goddamn link to your site. She doesn't want to go to Instagram. She's not going to find you on TikTok. She's not going to find you streaming on Twitch. You got to have a website. Go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, T-I-L-L-O-N-S, goingtohell.com. There is no is. For this one, we go T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N-S, goingtohell.com. It's powered by Wix, okay? All my dates are there. June 22nd, Comics, Mohegan Sun. all of these dates upcoming for me to do live stand-up comedy. You will see. You'll see how nice the website is. Wix is great. You can sell products directly, including digital downloads. Start a mailing list. Keep members of your team to the site so everyone can edit and update it. Easily connect with Google Analytics. This is why you got to do it. And if you go to Wix, you can design your own website. They have a drag-and-drop AI system. You answer a few questions, and they'll basically tell you what, you know, what the website should look like. So if you join my mailing list, you'll get 10% off any Wix premium plan. And if you do that, you get 90 seconds to promote whatever you're doing on the show. We've already got a few people doing the first call-in episode from LA in a few weeks. I'm telling you right now, you get 90 seconds. If you upgrade your premium plan, upgrade your Wix plan, whether you have one or not, to a premium plan with my code, okay? You prove it to me and you send me a screenshot, you'll get 90 seconds on this show. We have a band coming on to do it. Thank you, band. I'm not going to say your name because it's going to be part of your 90 seconds. And then there'll be more. I'll probably ask you some questions. So you're going to get maybe a few minutes, actually, on the show in front of an audience of tens of thousands of people to promote whatever you do. Do you have a website, Luke?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't know about Wix until right now. Now I'm going to go get one.
But you're a comedian, and I mean very seriously. I know that you think everything's social media, but you need to have a place where you should have a good stand-up clip on there. You could have your shows on there.
You're right.
You should have a place for people to follow you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're always smiling. People don't like that about you.
Yeah? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like it?
It's what I've heard. Yeah. It's what I've heard. But I think you should have a website. I'm being dead serious. I'm kind of surprised you don't.
What's the promo code?
Well, I mean, it's just, you just go there, timdillonsgoingtohell.com. You go to Wix through, if you go scroll to the bottom of the site, you scroll through it, and they'll give you 10% off any premium plan. 150 million people have used Wix. It's kind of strange to me that you would not have a website. It's odd to me. You know?
Yeah.
When you go to porn, you go to a website?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. What type of porn do you watch? Always blacks?
No, not always blacks. It depends what... Depends, you know, change the flavor, you know, depending on how I'm feeling. If I see a girl or have an interaction with a girl and she's hot and she looks a specific way, I'll watch that type of porn for the next week or so.
Interesting.
Try to mirror life, you know? Because you have a girlfriend, you're not fucking anybody else. Well, so a lot of times I won't watch black
porn.
Well,
I have friends that would disagree. I have friends that would disagree with that. So a lot of times you said what?
Well, I won't watch black porn because I fuck a very hot black chick. So sometimes I want to watch the white girl porn because I haven't fucked a white girl since I lived in Boston, where all the white girls live.
Interesting.
Yeah. How about you? What's the gay? You a big gay porn watcher?
Pretty, I guess decent.
Yeah?
Decent, yeah.
Is it just gay? Or is
just
there...
like, you know, college lacrosse player discovers himself and discovers his friend.
Underage, like sophomore in high school.
No, not sophomore in high school. What are you talking about?
I'm just going with your type. I mean, I've seen your type. That's kind of what it is. It's high school lacrosse player.
If they're over 18 and they're still in high school, that's fine. I don't know. I don't care your level of education. I'm not a snob. I'm not like an intellectual snob.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think there's anything wrong with people dating younger. I don't care that Dan Cook has a 19-year-old girlfriend. Why should I care?
No.
Why should that be a problem?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're dating some old Aunt Jemima. Everybody's got to, oh, Luke, you coming home? Can you get, Luke, you better go and get some new balls in the stove. I met your girlfriend. She's very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
270 pounds. A big black woman. Uh-huh. Luke, motherfucker, you better. This is Luke's girlfriend. She's like, yo,
Crawford.
Yo, you better go to the stove. You better go to the stove right now. I got a bunion. You like feet? Are you into feet?
Yeah, feet are all right.
You like that?
Feet are cool. Yeah, I like some feet.
What?
Do you like dude feet?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's
young dude feet.
The best. Yeah. It's the best. Listen, a few of your friends in Buffalo are probably desperate, right?
Yeah, they'd fuck you.
They need money.
They need this.
They need money.
Yeah.
They're desperate. Let's give me some of their numbers.
All right.
I'll hook
you up. You might be the best thing that ever happened to them. Bring them out of Buffalo.
Well, probably not.
Show them some tuna tartare.
Yeah, and that means a lot of different things. That doesn't just mean that. But If you want also me to pay you to suck your dick, go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, which is powered by Wix. I will probably pay you to suck your dick if you're a dude, and come on your feet if you are a guy. Anyway, Joe, this
come
is
on
all,
your light up Skechers.
Yeah, right. No, no, no. You gotta have the shoes on. This is all, folks. This is all kidding. We're kidding about this. What yeah. I'm not kidding about is Nazism. It's real. I'm kidding. Wix. Are we still doing this at Wix? Go to Wix, folks. What do I have to every fucking week? I tell you, you need a website. Go to Wix. You didn't buy the maple syrup. They took that away from me. Some of my fans bought the maple syrup. And I don't know what the fuck happened. Okay? And I want the syrup back. But now we got Wix. You fuckers better do it. And message me that you did it. I'm fucking sitting here talking about feet with this little clown. I'm putting it all on the line here.
You had a maple syrup sponsor and they bailed on you?
I don't know what happened with maple syrup, but we were doing a good job. Yeah,
she's nodding yes. They bailed on you.
Did they bail?
I mean, you haven't had them in a while, right?
I know, but I sold the syrup. People were buying the syrup.
Really fucking good syrup.
Yeah. Whatever, but I was selling it, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I got to talk to Ralph. I want that syrup back. I was fucking doing the right thing. All right, everybody, go to fucking timdillongoingtohell.com. Scroll to the bottom. Go to the Wix. Upgrade your premium plan. Send me a screenshot of it. You get 3 minutes on the show to promote whatever horse shit idea that will never work. Maybe it will. Just kidding. It won't. Goodbye. There we go. Ah, the ads are crazy. And my whole thing is, even more so than stand-up, there's a whole group of people out there that have been told to follow their dreams, and a lot of them follow them at their own peril. Whether it's the fucking Gary Vee fucking noise on Instagram telling you you're all going to be entrepreneurs. You're not. You're sitting there watching Masterclass. I want to watch Judd Apatow's Masterclass because there is no class for any of this. You fools. There is no class. I have a master class. It's called You're Not an Entrepreneur. You're going to die. You're going to die thinking that you're going to run the show. Get a job. Be part of an organization. Start there.
Dude.
I have friends that want to be entrepreneurs. They've never had a fucking job.
Have you seen the Steve Martin masterclass?
God,
the Steve Martin masterclass.
I hope they all die. Why is every celebrity that I used to like going to teach a masterclass?
Dude, you got to. Dude, there's a Steve Martin masterclass.
How good is this money?
It's comics that we know are on it. And he's like, one of the comics like, yeah, I was playing a funny bone in Ohio the other day. And like, this thing happened with the crowd. And Steve Martin looks at him and goes, what's a funny bone?
Yeah, Steve Martin doesn't know. Steve Martin's masterclass. Steve Martin was playing stadiums and then he quit. And then he started doing movies. And now he's back teaching idiots how to do well at the improv. Steve Martin's back teaching people how to host. Well, you gotta make sure that the crowd is quieted down. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's crazy.
Can we pull up, by the way, Alex? Who are these master classes, by the way? I know that Judd Apatow is teaching one. I think, is Scorsese teaching one? God help us.
We can find you a list, but we also have the trailer for the Steve Martin one here.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's watch this. God help us. This is... God.
Hi, I'm... Quiet. I'm Steve Martin, and welcome to Masterclass. I was talking to some students, and they were saying things like, how do I get an agent? Where do I get my headshots? And I just thought, shouldn't the first thing you're thinking about is, how do I be good? I have a little bit of a pet peeve for comedians who come out and say, how are we doing tonight?
Why does anyone...
one of the most important moments of your show.
I would pause this for a second. I would fire my manager over the phone if he brought this up to, by the way, can you imagine me in that? They would never have.
Dude.
They would never have me on one of these couches.
You and Steve Martin.
But just the idea that if like my manager or agent brought this to me and they said, Steve Martin wants to teach you to do comedy publicly for this scam called Masterclass, because that's what this is, it's a scam.
Yeah.
I would laugh and then I would fire them. And I love, like I like Will Miles a lot. I respect people. I get people got to work. And in fairness, I don't know what kind of money this was that they were offered.
Yeah.
Because for a fucking number, certain number, I'd be sitting on that couch looking at Steve Martin like, hi, Steve. I will be fucking just, I don't give a fuck. And by the way, I will now say this. If I am on MasterClass, know it was great money. Because I will fucking sit there and read the teleprompter on, but this scam, and can you guys find like who's doing these? You have a list of them. Who are the people teaching these master classes? Because I love the idea, by the way, that it's just you're selling people on the idea that they're going to become proficient in something.
What's the Judd one?
It's David Lynch, Judd Apatow, Aaron Sorkin. Keep going. Aaron Sorkin's going to teach you how to smoke crack in a hotel room in Washington, D.C., which is what he's a genius, though. He's a guy that, like, you know, all his drug problems, everything. He's an amazing writer. Gordon Ramsay, Phil Ivey, Aaron Franklin, Masterclass Barbecue. This is like Penn and Teller. Natalie Portman. What the fuck is she teaching? Acting? Natalie Portman. Being Masterclass. Being hot.
Be gorgeous, yeah.
Be hot. Timbaland. Okay, get this out of here. Masterclass.
It's also like people that haven't done the thing.
How much is this? How much do I have to, if I want a masterclass, how much do I have to pay for a masterclass?
It's $15 a month.
$15 a month. Let me explain this to someone out there that may be listening to the show. And I don't want, and this is in no uncertain terms, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. If you have paid a dollar to a master class, I want you, and I'm telling you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. I want you to go and get all the money out of your bank account. Get every last cent. Argue with the woman when she goes, you got to leave $5 in to keep the account. Say, I'm not going to need the account, ma'am. Take all the money. Go and buy a gun. Seriously. And I want you to blow your brains out while watching the master class, so that somebody in some job has to wipe your brain matter off Judd Apatow's face while he's telling you how to direct movies. You fucking, I mean, Aaron Frank, I want to be a pit master. Aaron Franklin's master class.
You blow your brains out and Steve Martin's like, prop comedy, that's a great start.
It's great. It's a great start. You're doing great.
I use props.
Can we play more of the Steve Martin trailer? Because I hope to God no one in my audience has bought a master class. I hope to God. This is worse than Gary Vee. This is people you respect. At least with Gary Vee, you know he's a fucking clown and it's a scam. These are people you respect sharing. By the way, is there anything that demystifies something more than having a master like reveal all of their secrets to fucking people that they cast to be in this? Or like, you, Steve Martin doesn't know who he's teaching. It's anyone who pays $15. So if you're a master, think of a master giving away the knowledge at the end of his life. He's going to give it to like an apprentice, somebody who's worthy of it, right? No. Anyone who's paid $15 a month gets the benefit of all my hard years and learning knowledge and wisdom that I've accrued. You pay $15 a month and it's yours. If you're a Nazi, don't worry. Don't worry. You fucking kids, you're a pedophile. Maybe you're taking the Judd Apatow masterclass to make better fucking kiddie porn. Doesn't matter. $15 a month, you get it. You get the class. You could be a master fucking kid fucking director. Maybe that's what. Let's watch more of this, Steve Martin.
Sorry, I ran out of the front.
What?
We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about my specific process.
Thank you.
Performing comedy.
Hey, move that over there.
We're going to talk about writing. Editing is one of your most powerful tools. So that bit's not working. It's gone the next night.
Now, what gets the laugh? Whenever it's the word fucked that gets the laugh, I always question it.
An ultimate goal of mine is to work clean.
Well, then you should take out fucked up.
Yeah.
I never actually thought I was funny. You may think I don't have any talent. I guarantee you, I had no talent.
Get him out of here.
Dude, this is also,
by the way,
so
this makes it
sold.
Seem like white people did get lucky. Like, it makes it seem like literally maybe these fucking people are right. Like,
well, it's also such a good way to sell it because
this guy doesn't know what TikTok is. He doesn't know Lil Nas X. If you're trying to make something good in this environment, you're insane. You're an insane person. Lil Nas X that's like a parody song on TikTok. He was number one, and it just became a huge song. Listen, there are these rappers now, like Young Gravy. Now, I know Young Gravy because I sat on a Megabus next to the guy who does social media for Young Gravy. Bring up Mr. Clean, Young Gravy. It ain't horrible. It ain't great. Now, I thought Young Gravy was doing a parody of a rapper, a parody of a white rapper, and I thought it was funny. And I thought it was a joke. I thought Young Gravy was in on the joke. Gravy is not in on the joke. Gravy is deadly serious. And I guess his fans don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. Whether it's ironic or not.
Yeah.
Like when I do those desk videos, people are like, is that you? Is it a character? I'm like, it doesn't matter anymore. No. Don't you get it? Trump is the president. We're gone. We're in the void now. And you know, Steve Martin giving this advice from 1970. You gotta craft. Hey, you gotta craft it all.
Take the fuck out
you
of it.
You just gotta craft it. Will you stop? Let's watch Young Gravy.
Yeah, where's Young
Mr.
Gravy?
Clean.
Young
Thank
Gravy,
you.
Mr. Clean. Produced by White Shinobi.
I thought Gravy was kidding. I thought this was a bit.
Is he a white guy?
If you're a rapper now, I assume you're a white child. So, you see Gravy here. He takes out toothpaste. There's a boat doing donuts. You see a nice... you can watch the Mr. Clean YouTube. And now a guy with like a dad voice comes out. He's not even particularly good looking. He's like a tall guy. He's sitting on a horse.
He looks like a cashier at 7-Eleven. Like...
Yeah, with your mom in the kitchen, blueberry muff. I'm like, all right, yeah, this is enough. But I thought this was a game. And then I realized that it starts as a joke, like the Trump candidacy, and then it becomes real.
Yeah.
This is what people don't understand right now. It's very interesting. It's really an interesting comment on where we are. And this is probably why some of these idiots that are like so afraid of comedy, they think comedy's to blame for all this. Comedy's not really to blame for all this because this guy, Young Gravy, is deadly serious, by the way. But people are looking at this and some of them are enjoying it because of how over the top it is and how ridiculous it is. And it seems like in the world that we're living in right now, to get attention, it should be over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's why Lil Nas X got a lot of attention because it was kind of over... You know, I mean, what do you think of that song? I mean, you love rap. You listen to rap all the time.
The Lil Nas X song?
Yeah.
I mean, I think all the biggest people are just trolls. Like,
right.
Trump's a troll. Lil Nas X is a troll. Tekashi 6ix9ine is a troll. Cardi B. Like, all these people are just trolls.
Well,
Kim Jong-un is a troll.
Yeah, they exist like, in the environment that we're in.
They totally do,
Which is why it's hilarious. Don't you realize, folks, the irony of having a master class at all?
Well, what's going to be amazing is
hilarious.
In 20 years, Young Gravy's going to have a master class.
Well,
it's going to be fucking hilarious.
Master class right now is how to manipulate people on social media. Yeah. That's what it seems to be. The master class is not perfecting your craft. It's going to work for like one guy.
No.
I mean, so these master classes are just they're a grift, and they're to get people out there sitting on their couch eating Doritos. They're like, I want to make a film, to then go and watch these people. But when you look at who's succeeding in this environment, I mean, Masterclass, Lil Nas X, like. These people are succeeding because they're being ridiculous. And Steve Martin's being very, you know, earnest
and
talking about and illogical and rational. And the kids are sitting there and he's like, listen. He's like, when fuck is the thing that gets left? I question that. And it's like, buddy, what world are you in right now? What world are you living in?
Well, and you know it's so brilliantly sold too, because the first thing he says, because they're selling it to people that aren't talented, because that's who's going to pay $15 a month to listen to Steve Martin talk when he hasn't
done comedy
in 30
years. You know what? Here's a
masterclass
for stand-up comedy. I'm going to give it to you for free. Ruin your life. Go to LA or New York and ruin your life. Maybe start in Boston or Chicago first.
Uh huh.
ruin your life, destroy your credit, your relationship to your family, your friends, and then reality. And hopefully you come out on the other side of that with a few credits and a little career. But you might not. That's the masterclass. Now you save $15. You're going to need it for medicine. What were you saying?
Oh, God.
Look at this fucking freak. I love this guy. He's so terrifying looking. I can't decide what kind of terrorist he looks like. They just hired this guy. Is it ISIS? Is it Boko Haram? He's white, too, I think. He just has a... He has a look of somebody who's, he'll commune with the prophet. I've talked about this before, and I'll say it again. Boomers are a huge market right now. A lot of people, boomers are all about to retire. They are the generation of people who raped and pillaged this country. They depleted our resources. They mired us in endless foreign wars. They have completely corrupted the country and bankrupted the country. They're moral deviants. They're a lot of things about them. But they are a huge ad demo, and they will consume your content. They might pay for the things you sell, but they're not going to be on social media. They're not. They need a website. They want a website. That's why they love Facebook, because it's a fucking website. My aunt's on Facebook all the time, writing statuses about Donald Trump, her boyfriend. At 3 a.m. in a Percocet haze. You want to sell something to my aunt, she wants a goddamn link to your site. She doesn't want to go to Instagram. She's not going to find you on TikTok. She's not going to find you streaming on Twitch. You got to have a website. Go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, T-I-L-L-O-N-S, goingtohell.com. There is no is. For this one, we go T-I-M-D-I-L-L-O-N-S, goingtohell.com. It's powered by Wix, okay? All my dates are there. June 22nd, Comics, Mohegan Sun. All of these dates upcoming for me to do live stand-up comedy, you'll see how nice the website is. Wix is great. You can sell products directly, including digital downloads. Start a mailing list. Keep members of your team to the site so everyone can edit and update it. Easily connect with Google Analytics. This is why you got to do it. And if you go to Wix, you can design your own website. They have a drag and drop AI system. You answer a few questions and they'll basically tell you what the website should look like. So if you join my mailing list, you'll get 10% off any Wix premium plan. And if you do that, you get 90 seconds to promote whatever you're doing on the show. We've already got a few people doing the first call-in episode from LA in a few weeks. I'm telling you right now, you get 90 seconds. If you upgrade your premium plan, upgrade your Wix plan, whether you have one or not, to a premium plan with my code, okay? You prove it to me and you send me a screenshot, you'll get 90 seconds on this show. We have a band coming on to do it. Thank you, band. I'm not going to say your name because it's going to be part of your 90 seconds. And then it'll be more. I'll probably ask you some questions. So you're going to get maybe a few minutes, actually, on the show in front of an audience of tens of thousands of people to promote whatever you do. Do you have a website, Luke?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't know about Wix until right now. Now I'm going to go get one.
But you're a comedian, and I mean very seriously. I know that you think everything's social media, but you need to have a place where you should have a good stand-up clip on there. You could have your shows on there.
You're right.
You should have a place for people to follow you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're always smiling. People don't like that about you.
Yeah? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like it?
It's what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's what I've heard. But I think you should have a website. I'm being dead serious. I'm kind of surprised you don't.
What's the promo code?
Well, I mean, you just go there, timdillonsgoingtohell.com. You go to Wix scroll to the bottom of the site, you scroll through it, and they'll give you 10% off any premium plan. 150 million people have used Wix. It's kind of strange to me that you would not have a website. It's odd to me, you know?
Yeah.
When you go to porn, you go to a website?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What type of porn do you watch? Always blacks?
No, not always blacks. It depends what... change the flavor, depending on how I'm feeling. If I see a girl or have an interaction with a girl and she's hot and she looks a specific way, I'll watch that type of porn for the next week or so.
Interesting.
Try to mirror life,
Interesting.
Because you have a girlfriend, you're not fucking anybody else.
Well,
so a lot of times I won't watch
black
porn.
I have friends that would disagree. I have friends that would disagree with that. So a lot of times you said what?
Well, I won't watch black porn because I
fuck a very hot black chick.
So sometimes I want to watch the white girl porn because I haven't fucked a white girl since I lived in Boston, where all the white girls live.
Interesting. Yeah.
How about you? What's the gay? You a big gay porn watcher?
Pretty, I guess, decent.
Yeah.
Decent. Yeah.
Is there Is it just gay? Or is
just
there,
like, you know, college lacrosse player discovers himself and discovers his friend.
Underage, like sophomore in high school.
No, not sophomore in high school. What are you talking about?
I'm just going with your type. I mean, I've seen your type. That's kind of what it is. It's high school lacrosse player.
If they're over 18 and they're still in high school, that's fine. I don't know. I don't care your level of education. I'm not a snob. I'm not like an intellectual snob.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think there's anything wrong with people dating younger. I don't care that Dan Cook has a 19-year-old girlfriend. Why should I care?
No.
Why should that be a problem?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're dating some old Aunt Jemima. Everybody's got to, oh, Luke, you coming home? Can you get, Luke, you better go and get some new balls in the stove. I met your girlfriend. She's very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
270 pounds. A big black woman. Uh-huh. Luke, motherfucker, you better. This is Luke Crawford. She's like, Luke
Crawford.
Yo, you better go to the stove. You better go to the stove right now. I got a bunion. You like feet? Are you into feet?
Yeah, feet are all right.
You like that?
Feet are cool, yeah. I like some feet.
What?
Do you like dude feet?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, but it's
young dude feet.
The best. Yeah. It's the best. I listen, a few of your friends in Buffalo are probably desperate, right?
Yeah, they'd fuck you.
They need money.
They need this.
They need money.
Yeah.
They're desperate. Let's give me some of their numbers.
All right.
I'll hook you up.
You might be the best thing that ever happened to them. Bring them out of Buffalo.
Well, probably not.
Show them some tuna tartare.
Yeah, and that means a lot of different things. That doesn't just mean that. But if you want also me to pay you to suck your dick, go to timdillonsgoingtohell.com, which is powered by Wix. I will probably pay you to suck your dick if you're a dude, and come on your feet if you are a guy. Anyway, Joe.
Your light-up Skechers.
Yeah, right. No. You got to have the shoes on. This is all, folks, this is all kidding. We're kidding about this. What I'm not kidding about is Nazism. It's real. I'm kidding. Wix. Are we still doing this at Wix? Go to Wix, folks. What do I have to every fucking week? I tell you, you need a website. Go to Wix. You didn't buy the maple syrup. They took that away from me. Some of my fans bought the maple syrup. And I don't know what the fuck happened. Okay? And I want the syrup back. But now we got Wix. You fuckers better do it. And then message me that you did it. I'm fucking sitting here talking about feet with this little clown. I'm putting it all on the line here.
You had a maple syrup sponsor and they bailed on you?
I don't know what happened with maple syrup, but we were doing a good job. Yeah,
she's nodding yes. They bailed on you.
Did they bail?
I mean, you haven't had them in a while.
I know, but I sold the syrup. People were buying the syrup.
Really fucking good syrup.
Yeah.
Whatever, but I was selling it, and I don't know what happened. I got to talk to Ralph. I want that syrup back. I was fucking doing the right thing. All right, everybody, go to fucking timdillongoingtohell.com. Scroll to the bottom. Go to the Wix. Upgrade your premium plan. Send me a screenshot of it. You get 3 minutes on the show to promote whatever horse shit idea that will never work. Maybe it will. Just kidding. It won't. Goodbye. But this is my issue with them. I did an open mic last night in Long Island. I was crazy. I was out with my dad. I went to go.
Did you bring him to the mic?
No, I went to my dad. Me and my dad and his wife and her parents, who I like, big libs but very smart. Like, he's a lawyer. He argued in front of the Supreme Court and whatever. He starts talking about taxes. I go on my phone. So I was talking about grieving, and he's like, he says to my dad, he's like, people like your son that lose interest after a few minutes. I'm like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about your tax grievances, your tax assessment problems on Long Island. And I hit him back from like the left. I'm like, I don't care about a bunch of white people on Long Island with tax problems. He's like, well, it's actually the black people that are paying too much. That's who we're trying to help. I'm like, yeah, isn't that always how it is with you people? Isn't it always interesting that you're always trying to help black people? Even at lunch while we're eating shrimp cocktail, you're always just trying to help black people.
Do you remember when we did that gig in Long Island for those like 90-year-old people?
Yeah.
And we walk in and your dad's in there and it's like a bunch of your dads. The crowd was just your dad's like friends that were all like senior citizens.
Yeah.
And we walk in and we were like on the way up and you were like, I think these people might be old.
Yeah.
Like, this could be an old crowd.
Oh, it was old.
And we get in there and everyone's like 90 years old. We walk in and your dad's like, Timmy. And he like it starts introducing his friends. He's like, this is Maurice and this is Martha. And as you're shaking their hands, you lean over to me like, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah. They're all ready to die. They're all ready to go. And my dad's 67. He's, you know, he's done. Logic. I love him, but he cares about dogs and wine, and that's it. If you're not a glass of Cabernet or a dog, get the fuck out of his face. He doesn't have any time for you. So we're sitting there having lunch, and his wife, who I enjoy, says, I'd like you to drive my new Benz back to the house. They just bought a little cottage on Long Island, too. Mm-hmm. She's like, you're going to own that cottage one day. And immediately when somebody says that to you, you go, well, when? When are you going to die? Literally, I'm 34. When are you going to drop dead? You might outlive me. As soon as somebody goes, well, that'll be, you'll own that one day. It's like, when will that happen? When are you going to die? And it's not even a negative thing. It's just a thing that you're forced to think about immediately. When are you going to check out?
Yeah, they're letting you know when we die, your life's going to get a lot better.
Yeah, so die. I'm not trying to be a dick, but how many more holidays do we need to have before I get the cottage? I want the cottage. I want a cottage. So I'm, I'm kidding. But, you know?
But what was the open mic like?
So I said, well, I'm going to go to this open mic. I messaged one of the guys that I started comedy with on Long Island. I said, is there any comedy going on tonight on Long Island? The answer every night, by the way, is no. Unless it's like Sebastian is doing a Paramount or whatever. Chelsea Handler is, you know, having a town hall meeting with some, having a healthcare town hall, coming out and talking to everybody about healthcare. You know, after a decade of talking about getting railed. She's now an expert in espionage after she talked about getting it in the ass for a decade. Now she knows about espionage. She knows about the Mueller report. Where do you get your analysis of the Mueller report? I go to Chelsea Handler.
It's so crazy. Do people be like, Cardi B took it to Trump today on Twitter?
Yeah, I
like,
go to Chelsea Handler because she wrote a story a few years ago about shitting herself on a date. So I said, if anybody wraps their head around international spycraft, it's going to be Chelsea. Fuck her. I saw her in first class the other day on a plane, and I said hello. She should know who I am. I'm kidding. She shouldn't. But the point is that she should. And I go to this open mic at Shaker's Pub. I like the darkness. That's why I'm into conspiracies. I mean, I've always just been into that stuff. I read a lot of like alternative history, and the media that I consume is not mainstream. And one of the reasons is because I want to know how bad it is. And a lot of mainstream takes are sanitized. Okay? I want to know how bad it is. How dark does it get out there? You don't have that, which is sweet about you.
No.
That's very nice about you. That's why I bring you on the road and stuff. You don't have that, which is nice. I like to know how dark does it get? How deep is it, you know?
Yeah.
How deep is the well?
I love that.
How loud are the screams? You know? So I said, let me do this open mic at Shaker's Pub in Oakdale, Long Island, which is part of Suffolk County, Long Island, other than the Hamptons and a few other hamlets, is a very bleak place.
Is that where Levittown is?
Levittown's right on the border of Nassau, Suffolk. Yeah. But once you get into Suffolk, it's very bleak. I mean, it's so bleak out there where you go, why are we afraid of MS-13? A few pupusas and machetes is maybe what the doctor ordered. Because it's bleak and it's sad. And it's what a lot of America looks like. It's the erosion of America. It's the erosion of what once seemed like a great idea, which was suburbia. You're watching it die in real time. People cannot afford to live there. There's a major heroin problem on Long Island. There's big, big issues. And you see all of that. And it just looks hollowed out. If I could use one word for this area, it's hollowed out. It's fast food. Mm-hmm. It's bars. It's shitty little fucking, you know, little sex shops are out there still. Yeah. It's real.
You took me to Levittown, and it was like fast food next to cancer treatment
it's
places.
It's all the only nice buildings left on Long Island are radiology clinics.
That's really what it was.
Where you get diagnosed because everyone's going to get cancer. That's what everyone in Long Island is waiting for. It's just the when and the where. It's the when and the where to get that diagnosis.
And you're just trying to get cancer so you could get in that building.
Is it after you shit a bloody steak tidbit out of your asshole? Do you then go, is it the colon? Or is it after that last drag of a Parley Light? Do you go, or is it something fancy like a blood cancer? Or you piss and you go, there's a real burning here. It's just what part of your body decides to rebel against you. And that's what Long Island's about. Maybe it'll be dementia. You know, and if you get lucky, you just get whacked on the LIE. Some 19-year-old drug addict plows in you at high speed, and you don't even have to spend the money on the you don't have to spend the money on the radiology clinic. It's just over. Quick. The gnarling of steel, the smashing of glass. I've been in 5 accidents. I've enjoyed every one of them. I've totaled 5 cars. Nothing feels better than walking out of a car wreck and lighting a cigarette. And standing on the street and looking at that wreck, it is one of the greatest feelings in the world. And if you have not had it, you are a cuck. But I'm out doing the open mic. And I
that was all about the open mic.
Do you have a podcast? What's your podcast? You talk about MMA?
Yeah. I had one. Had one with Harrington.
What all happened? Through.
Harrington?
You know, got busy. Definitely, I'm still paying for the Blueberry listing, so we'll get it up soon.
Okay,
that's never gonna happen.
Yeah, well,
it's literally never gonna happen.
Bite me.
It was supposed to be me, Diego Lopez, and Harrington. Harrington fell off.
Where is Diego Lopez on everything with the Creek? Well, where does that guy stand?
I know that he sparred with Lewis over the weekend and really took it to him after Lewis said, "Hey, maybe the guy's got some good points." He just started kicking the shit out of Lewis.
Interesting.
So, I don't he's think like a,
Lewis is getting beat up over Milo.
I would wonder what Diego would have to say because Diego's kind of, I don't know. I think he would see both sides of it maybe, or maybe not both sides. I don't know. I don't really care either. But the point is, I walk into this open mic as soon as let's get some photos up of this bar that
What's
this
it called?
Was at. It's called Shaker's Pub. I want people to understand when I say I like the darkness, I like the dark. Like, I'm not fucking around.
Oh, my God.
You see immediately, if you're watching this, you see Shaker's Pub. You see immediately this is not a place that supports life. If it was a planet, you would say it does not support life. It's just impossible. There's no oxygen. There's no water. I spent years in bars like this. This is a place you go obliterate your life. This is like, you know, there's not too much out there that is really worse than this.
The saddest places on earth are bars that are in plazas.
Yeah.
Like when a bar is in a shopping plaza
mall,
next to a strip mall bar next to a fucking Big Lots and a Taco Bell, because you're getting all your sadness in one place.
Yes, that's a great point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sadness.
You're not really looking for the social aspect of it. You're like, I want to get a burrito.
No.
Yeah.
I drank in a corner in corner bars for years, and I've now stuffed my act about it. It was never social. I was a degenerate alcoholic.
Were you an alone drinker?
Yeah, I would go to a bar alone and then talk to the other people at the bar that were there, but they were all fucked, and I would drink a bottle of vodka a night or close to it. And, you know, you would just get fucking, you'd get shitty.
Yeah.
And that's why you went, and the bar was up the block from my house, but it was never social, you know? It was not as social, you know?
And a plaza bar is especially not going to be social.
When you went out, you'd go out with like 8 friends, 6 friends, 3 friends.
Yeah, you get hammered.
You would go out with your buddies.
Yeah, but we had places like that in Buffalo with the strip.
Would you go every now and then? Would you go in there?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a choice.
No.
Yeah.
In Buffalo, you got no other options.
Right.
You can eat chicken fingers for the 4th time today, or you can go to the shopping plaza bar.
Now you never had any addictive problems. You don't have like an addictive personality.
I do, but not as... Yeah, no. I don't know. Also, in Buffalo, it's very normal. I had to learn that the way we drank in Buffalo was not normal.
Right.
So, when I moved out of there, you realize, like, the rest of the world doesn't drink like this.
Yeah.
Because everybody's getting binge drinking.
But
like,
I've gone on the road with you. You're pretty... You're not a big... From my... You know, you don't smoke weed a lot, or you don't drink. You're not a guy that wakes up and puts a vape in his
mouth, you know?
No.
Right?
No.
You're not that type of person.
No.
Yeah.
Not a big yeah. weed guy.
Yeah. Were you ever any, you said you like to do coke every now and then.
I used to when I was
younger. Well, what's funny about that? You can't admit that on
no,
a podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done coke a bunch of times.
You've done coke a bunch of times.
I did coke all night one time with my friend Nick and then flew from Buffalo back to Boston where I was living. And there was a Russian lady with her baby and I'd been up all night doing coke. And the baby was like looking, I probably wasn't looking at me, but I thought the baby was like looking at me and knew I was fucked up. I was freaking out. I've had some weird times on coke. So I did coke with a bunch of.
But then what happened?
I mean, I was bugging out and I don't know, went, got to Boston, called my friend, thought I was overdosing on coke.
Okay.
The next day, which is impossible.
Yeah.
Can't overdose 2 days later. I did coke with a bunch of trannies in Boston.
What happened then?
It's crazy.
What'd you do?
There's this girl, Numsha. She's the biggest coke dealer in Boston. Yeah. Tiny little Asian girl. We went to her birthday party. She rented out a bar and it was all like these like lady boys from Thailand.
Yeah.
And we went back to her place and she was like, oh, we have fun. It's my birthday. And she brings out like a grapefruit sized ball of coke and puts it on the table and was just like, have at it. So it's me and two of my buddies and then like 10 of these transsexual women, lady boys from Thailand. And we were just doing coke with them all night. And then like 5 hours in, they took their wigs and their makeup off, and now they're just like dudes we're hanging out with.
Right.
So we have to like re-meet them.
Interesting.
Because we met the female version.
So you're not, nobody's getting their dick sucked from the lady boy?
Nah, I don't think so.
Interesting.
No. Maybe my friend snuck out and did, but I was more interested in the coke, not the lady boy dick suck.
Interesting. We got to work on these stories. They're good. They're not great. They need to get to the next level. Somebody needs to get their hog sucked. Something needs to happen, you know? I got drunk. I bought a house. This is cool. That's what cool people do. But so get Shaker's Pub up again. I walk in. I immediately know it's a problem. I immediately know. Would you have sex with a transsexual?
No.
Why not?
Are you into it?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I never say no, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know.
It wouldn't do a little extra for you if the dude had a wig on?
No.
No?
No, I don't want women. That's why I don't fuck women.
Well, I don't fuck trans. Like, I don't like it because I don't like men. Like, there's
yeah.
a, if they got a dick.
So if they have a dick, you can't do it?
No, man, I don't like dicks.
You heard it here. He should not work. He should never work again in comedy. Look at Shaker's Pub. I want you to show this bartender. This bartender walked outside. She lit a cigarette and she stood there. This woman was really not happy. She just waddled outside, put a cig in her mouth.
She doesn't even look human, dude.
And she was just watching. There's a show. I forget. Jamie Foxx is what? Is there a show that Jamie Foxx hosts now?
Like
what's
a game
what's
show?
It called? What's that show called? Because this woman
Shazam or yeah, Beat Shazam.
Whatever the Shazam show. She loved that. She was watching that, and then she would walk out every few minutes to smoke a cigarette. I mean, at this point, she's really just waiting for the devil to drag her to hell. You know, that's all. That's the only thing left in her life, sadly. And she's got to sit and listen to, you know, 15 open mic comedians. Look at now the open mic is in a side room. Let's take a look at the photo of this because this was, I mean, a horror beyond.
Oh my
yeah, so it's
God.
Just two long tables. It's very Dude. Well lit. They usually have bands in this place and they have all these signs just like no moshing, no.
Can you imagine you look like that woman, you live whatever her life is, you work in that bar at that age because you need to do it to pay your bills, and then after all that, they're like, you know what, Cheryl, we're going to have an open mic.
Yeah, you know what, Cheryl?
We're going to bring in...
Cheryl, tonight's open mic comedy night. You imagine she doesn't even react. She's like, what?
She has no idea what that even means, first of all.
She's like, Cheryl, tonight we're doing open mic. People are going to come in and be comedians. You like comedy? Immediately, these people start filing in. And here's what I started to realize. And I had this epiphany. And I think this sheds light on a lot of the Milo stuff, too. When you start comedy, you barely know what it is. And you know why you got into it. And a lot of comics are troubled by... you know, a myriad of different things. A lot of them have issues. A lot of them, you know, comics are very sensitive people. A lot of them have anxiety. A lot of them are depressed. A lot of them self-medicate with drugs, alcohol, food, whatever. A lot of them are delusional. They're somewhat narcissistic. You kind of have to be to do something like this, right? And you got to be delusional. That's the thing. You have to be. If you're not delusional, this doesn't work. You have to have a healthy amount of delusion. You have to see yourself as something that you are not yet. And you have to believe that becoming that thing is possible. All of those are ingredients that you need. The delusion, the work ethic, you need all that. You need some talent. You need some intelligence, which I didn't realize. I didn't realize when I got into it that you needed to be smart and that a lot of people had high quantities of work ethic and talent but just didn't make good decisions. And when the decisions mattered, they made the wrong ones, and a lot of it just came from the lack of intelligence. And they were operating from an emotional standpoint and not a logical one. And I've kind of now realized how much intelligence counts in this particular thing. And I didn't realize that until I think somewhat recently, in the last couple of years. But these people are all filing in. And what I realized was that comedy for me was always something that I loved and wanted to do and wanted to get better at and wanted to earn money doing. That was my goal. My goal was to see if I could earn money doing it, because it seemed like this crazy thing that would be almost near impossible to earn money doing. I mean, it just was not. If you told anyone you were going to be a comedian, they kind of smiled. They were like, is this guy crazy?
Yeah.
Including your family and your friends, you know, even though they would believe in you, you know, they would have conversations behind your back and in front of your face where they're like, it just doesn't. I mean, I'm sure that, you know.
Yeah. Do you think these guys even consider that? The Shakers Pub open micers.
Yeah.
Did they think about, like, I need to make money doing this? I need to.
Well, here's what I started to realize. What I started to realize is that comedy, you're not doing the same thing. You're at an open mic. Let's say you're at an open mic. You're there doing something else, and a lot of the people are there not doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It looks like they are because they're getting up and they're saying things into a microphone, but it's actually different. It's different in a meaningful way. A lot of those people are dealing with issues that have put them in those rooms, and very much like Alcoholics Anonymous or like group therapy, this has become a way for them to socialize and for a way for them to kind of deal with whatever's going on. And a lot of times, a lot of people that get into comedy are in a transition. They just got dumped. I was, you know, my job, you know, I was in the mortgage industry that evaporated. I sobered up. I came out of the closet. So a lot of people go into comedy because their life kind of hits a wall. And they're like, what's this thing I can do? Where is this place that no one can tell me to leave?
Well, yeah, and you see them on stage, and they're just talking about how shitty their life is and how sad they are, and they're not funny. And you realize, like, oh man, you should have just gone to therapy.
Or, well, some of them get funny.
Yeah,
and some of them figure out how to do this. The really only difference between me and the people, because I have a very similar story to those people who got in because things were fucked.
Yeah,
the difference is I learned how to get funny, and I learned how to have a career, and those are things that you have to learn, and you have to be willing to be open to that, but you have to start treating it like a business, which a lot of people don't do. And when I went to that open mic, I was looking at some of these people, and when I started talking to some of them, I realized they're unwell. You know? I mean, they're mentally unwell.
Yeah.
They're not well. Something is wrong, and it's wrong in a way that is obvious.
Yeah.
And there was a fight during the mic.
Fist fight?
Almost. Wow. One guy turned around to the other guy. There was this kid who was like stoned. He was doing nothing. Some lunatic turned around. I was like, yo, who the fuck do you think you are? And I'm like, wait a minute. What's happening? He's like, who the fuck does he think he is? And he's like, so then they separate them. Dude, it's a whole thing.
That's the thing about these open mics, is like the lines are blurred, where like there's so many comics that can be actually funny, but they're close to being actual crazy people. And then at the same open mics are actual crazy people.
You forget how much mental illness is in the open mic scene when you haven't been there for a while.
It's crazy.
You forget, and I was sitting there and I'm watching these two guys almost fight. And I'm watching people go up on stage, and some of them are funny, and some of them are crazy, and this is an open mic.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have been there, But I was only there because it's the same reason I watch human trafficking documentaries.
You love the darkness.
Well, I want to see how bad it is.
Yeah.
How bad does it get? Everybody that loves conspiracies or that loves any of that shit is really just trying to satiate their need for darkness in it to an extent, if you want to look at it psychologically. But it's also a lot of people that want to answer that question. It's always one question: how bad is it? How bad is it really?
Yeah.
You know, did they off Kennedy? Would they do 9/11? What would they do?
I love how it's like 9/11 Kennedy assassination Shaker's Pub open.
It's the same.
The trio
it's
of darkness.
Really, if you had been there, if you had seen the people,
yeah.
And some of them were fun, but like they're also hopeless. They're 2 hours. And here's the thing about Long Island and that particular part of Long Island. It does not have any redeeming qualities. Like if you go down to some, you know, hick bar in some southern state, maybe it's folksy and it's got some fucking appeal. Long Island, it's not. It's just garbage. It's just garbage and garbage people. And it's a real unending nightmare.
Dude, you took me to that Tri-County Flea Market in Levittown.
Yeah.
And it was a flea market. It was like a three-story building literally filled with garbage. It was just like people's old garbage that they were giving away and spray-painted T-shirts. And we were like the only two people in there.
But I mean, these are the people that are going to buy the master class.
Yeah.
These are the people that are going to go back from the Shaker's Pub open mic. They won't even do it. They won't even buy the master class.
No. Shaker's Pub's below Masterclass.
They won't even buy the Masterclass. And good for them. Like, they won't even buy the Masterclass.
No.
You know?
They know what it is. They're not.
There was a guy explaining to me, you know, these guys run bringer shows for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, they just find people on Facebook that don't know any better or whatever. And, you know, this is what it is.
I mean, if you think about it.
I got one guy, because I texted one guy that I was friends with, who now, he doesn't do comedy anymore. And he's like, I was like, are you going to go to this mic? My dad lives, you know, kind of close. He's like, all right, I'll go. So I got him to come back to comedy. So I'm like getting this guy to relapse. He got out. He's like out. I pulled him. I'm like, why don't
Did
you
come to the- Did he do a set?
Yeah.
Oh, you're horrible. Why would you do that?
Because I know he's out for good. Like,
because
he'll never get back
in. But you also kind of want him to be in the darkness with you.
Well, I wanted to recapture the fun of what we used to do, where we'd go to a diner afterwards, and I thought it would be fun. No. I thought I'd be able to go back and be like, it'll be fun going to a diner and shitting on the people at the mic who are crazy and everything. And not only was it not fun, but I was not prepared for how bad and dark it was. And I was like, maybe it was like that when I was there. I just don't remember. And I just had the good sense to get out.
Yeah.
I had the good sense to get out of it.
When you first start, you're just psyched that you're getting on stage at all. So you kind of, you notice that there's crazy people and that it's a really fucked up place that you're spending your time in.
Right.
But you don't really think about it that much because you're just trying to figure it out.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, folks. Here's my problem with the whole masterclass thing, and then we'll get out of here. There is no honesty anymore in this world. And, you know, people that achieve really great things have to take, in many cases, really uncertain paths to get there, and it's kind of perilous, and there's a lot of sacrifice involved, and it doesn't always even out. Like, you don't get all those things back. You don't get it all back. You don't get all these sacrifices you made back at the end. Now, maybe you make a thing or you do a thing that's worth it, but you don't get it. You don't get the time. But Steve Jobs will never have the time with his daughter back. You just don't get it back. You know? It is what it is.
No.
And there's a lie now, because we told a whole generation of people, go and follow your dreams and blah, 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 blah. A lot of what people that get to a certain level, a lot of times you meet them, you're like, they were always going to get there. They just chose to get there a certain way, and they're always going to get there. Masterclass, the idea of somebody sitting there, and you could sit on your ass on your couch and learn anything is hilarious to me. You could really learn anything valuable sitting on your fucking couch in your room, eating a hero, watching Masterclass.
Well, that's kind of what it is like, let me pay $15 a month so Steve Martin can tell me how to be famous. Like, oh, I'm paying the monthly fee, now I'm going to be famous.
I don't even think these fuckers are thinking about being famous. I just think they think they're getting something. They think they're really getting something.
Like learning?
They think they're learning.
Ugh,
they think they're
sadder.
Learning. It's even sadder than just this idea of like, well, I just want to be famous.
Yeah.
But there's no honesty. We don't tell people, listen, you can take a route, but at the end of the day, there's no guarantees. And you might decide, even if it works, that you missed a few of those other things along the way.
Yeah.
You know? And we don't tell people that because people want a Disney version of whatever else is out there, you know? Where can people find you if people like you? Which you didn't get a lot. You didn't say a lot today, but that's the way, that's my podcast. The guest comes on and it gets spoken at.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time with you. I knew that.
You know how it is. Now, why? Theme of the show, shirts are cut. Why? Say it in the mirror. Your thoughts have no value. They don't have a value. You don't get to run off the mouth what you thought. That's why you have your own podcast.
Uh-huh.
That's why you have your own friends and your own girlfriend. When you're in my presence, you listen to me.
You'll call me. You'll call me. And
yes.
You'll be in the middle of like a rant that you're
yes.
Call me as if I've been listening to the beginning of it. You
yes.
Listen to the Golden Globe. You're watching the Golden Globes one time.
Yeah.
And you called me and I was like, what's up, man? And you didn't even say like, hey, man, I'm watching the Golden Globes. You just said, these people are insane.
Yes.
I mean, this is a dark business.
Yes.
You'll start a phone conversation
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
It'll go for another 45 minutes.
I appreciate your friendship because you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Good.
My mom texted me. She was like, I feel bad. I followed him on Instagram. Honey, is he okay? And I was like, why? She goes, sometimes he says really dark things.
I know, but what you have to tell her is that, Mom, Tim's funny. Say, Mom, I'm trying to be funny, and I'm a little bit of a goofball, Mom. But one day when I crack, I'll start saying some meaningful shit, too.
I'll start talking about pedophiles.
You got to tell her. You got to tell her, go, Mom, I don't say anything that matters, and I never have. But one day I'm going to. And I hope when I start saying things that matter, you worry about me too. Because if you're just talking about fluffy, goofy garbage, everything's going to be fine. But one day, Luke, I don't know what it'll be. Maybe your girlfriend will leave you. Something will happen. You know?
You've been waiting for me
maybe
to crack
she'll
for
die.
Years. You want me to
I want
to crack.
You to say something that matters. And you never will unless you experience some real tragedy. And not just like, it snows a lot in Buffalo. Because you're a great comic.
Yeah.
You're so good on stage. You have a real way with the audience. The only thing you're missing right now is a tragedy. You know what I mean? Somebody getting burnt to the ground. Maybe, you know, and I love your mom. I don't want anything to happen to her. But like, maybe the house goes up in flames,
uh-huh.
You know? Because you're missing the thing that makes you go, fuck it. I don't care. I'm just going to say whatever, you know?
Uh-huh.
So just the next time she says, be like, Mom, Tim is fine. Number one, Mom, you should subscribe to his podcast. Number two, Tim is fine, but what you think is dark, Mother, it's just things that matter. That's all. And I've never said one, but one day I will. One day I will. And that's when you'll really succeed. But where can people find you? Where can people find you in the meantime?
On Instagram at luke.touma,
L-U-K-E. At Luke Touma.
Dot T-O-U-M-A.
It's Luke the little baby.
And on Twitter at luke.touma, L-U-K-E-T-O-U-M-A.
Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram. If you want the real unadulterated shit. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Twitter. TimDillonComedy.com for all these dates. You got to fucking start coming out to some of these shows. Fox, buy tickets. We have a great time at a lot of these shows. Comics at Mohegan Sun, June 20th through the 23rd. August 1st through the 8th, American Comedy Co. in San Diego. Side Splitters, I'm sorry, in Tampa. That got moved to October. I have some really cool down south dates. I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm going to be in Hoover, Alabama. I'm going to be in Huntsville or Hoover something. I don't know. Listen, they're all on the website. They're all on Instagram. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N. And this is it. This is the final episode from New York. Are you going to miss me when I'm in Los Angeles?
I think you'll be back a good amount.
I'll be back a good amount.
I think I'll get the just the right dose.
Well, because everyone, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, I don't know I don't know the word for them, but they're like, they're young.
Yeah.
They're young people.
For sure.
Yeah. And you need some people that aren't young.
I'll miss you. But you're keeping your place. If you weren't keeping your place, I'd be sadder. But you'll be around.
Let me tell you right now. If in 6 months I know who you are, it means I have failed. And I will not fail. You know? This is one day you're gonna be somewhere. I don't know where you're going to be. And you'll say, I knew that guy, and he was a genius.
And now he's dead.
But he mattered. And you'll look at some chick you're in bed with, and you go, honey, we don't matter, and we never will. And then you'll turn off the light, and it'll be beautiful.
That'll be the end of it.
Good night, everybody.